Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for all the families gathered here today. What a blessing to be a parent and have your child here. For three-day weekends, for long summer days, that we might fit in all the things we love to do and all the people we love to see. For sun on our face and a warm breeze on our Minnesota skin, we give you thanks. For the sun sparkling off the lakes, kids on bikes and ice cream cones, all those simple pleasures that we often get so caught up in our heads that we forget to notice. May we never take life for granted, Lord, each day of it. The difficult days, the joy-filled days, just the gift of life. For the men and women who fought for our freedom, and for those who continue to fight for it today, we give you thanks. Be with our public servants, Lord, and their loved ones who worry. Give them strength to persevere. We pray for your wisdom, for our country's leaders, that they might work for peace and justice for all your children. For those who are anxious and lonely and fearful, fill us with a sense of your peace. Remind us that we are not and never alone, for you walk beside us each and every day. We breathe in your Holy Spirit, Lord, and we breathe out fear and anxiety, trusting that you'll give us just enough light for each new day. Calm our hearts and our minds that we might hear your word. And now let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So it is the 4th of July weekend. This is the weekend when you can no longer deny that it is summer. And we get that feeling like we better hang on really tight now because it's slipping away from our fingers. So hang on tight. We're swimming, we are boating, we are barbecuing with friends and family, we are soaking up the extra day of this luxurious three-day weekend. And so this week I'm sitting in my office and I pull out the text for this weekend and I think, you've got to be kidding. The stoning of Stephen on a holiday weekend. So after trying to barter my way out of this, I was told that the text is the text, and we must hear it. So it is the opposite of hot dogs and sparklers and sprinklers and beautiful sounds of children. Today's story makes me feel like Debbie Downer. So here it is, folks, the stoning of Stephen. The Bible tells us that Stephen, one of Jesus' disciples, is a man, quote, full of grace and power, full of faith in the Holy Spirit. And he's going around trying to teach the people how God wants them to live. How do you go about being a follower of Jesus in a world that lifts up the exact opposite of our gentle Jesus? In a world where people dismiss kindness and niceties and trust power and might. So the disciple spends his life giving it his best. But the leaders don't want to hear about a life full of love and forgiveness and service to others, let alone be told what to do. So they get mad, really mad. They are threatened, they feel backed in a corner, and they set out to stop this disciple. They seize him, they bring him to the council, they get someone to bear false witness against him. so that they can put them away and quit all this talk about loving your neighbor. As you heard Pastor Dixon read, they hear these lies about Stephen and they become enraged and they grind their teeth at them. Has anyone ever faced down someone who is enraged and grinding their teeth at you? Like maybe a terrible two? But filled with the Holy Spirit, Stephen calmly says, "Look, I see good news. The heavens opened and the Son of Man is standing at the right hand of God. There is hope." But the crowd refuses to listen. They cover their ears to God's news, and with a loud shout, they rush against him. Can you even imagine? You're trying to share the news of God's love, and the crowd comes at you, grinding their teeth, and they hem you in, and they stone you. And while stoning him, killing him with rocks, Stephen cries out in a loud voice, "Lord, receive my spirit, and do not hold this against them." Sounds familiar, doesn't it? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they've done." And while they're killing him, the people are laying their coats in reverence at the feet of Saul, the leader who wanted him dead. And Saul, buoyed by the people's adoring his non-Jesus-like ways, proceeds to run around dragging men and women out of their homes and sending them to prison, ravaging the Christian faith. See what I mean? Not exactly holiday fare. So how on earth do we find good news in this account of the very first of Jesus' disciples to be killed for proclaiming the faith? This account is the good news, because all this hate that built up against the peaceful, loving followers of Jesus did not win. Christianity did not buckle, not then and not now. As any armed service person can tell you, freedom comes at a price. As any Lutheran can tell you, the freedom that we have received, that forgiveness of sins that we have received because of God's life-giving gift of grace, it comes with responsibility. We don't get to just sit back and coast as being forgiven. Bonhoeffer called that cheap grace. Grace calls for us to pay it forward, to do good. Luke 12:48 reads, "For everyone to whom much has been given, much will be required. And from the one to whom much has been entrusted, even more will be demanded." We, as Christians, are called to love one another exactly as we have been loved. Not to cover our ears when the word of God calls us out on our behavior, but to love, to forgive as we have been forgiven, not to accuse people and stone them and drag them from their homes, but to follow God's command to love our neighbor. This past week, my husband Tom and I, 2 weeks ago, celebrated our 40th wedding anniversary. It took a while to let that soak in. 40 years? I remember my great aunts celebrating their 40th anniversaries. That's a long time. We joked that we're just a few years shy of the anniversary where we're going to be sitting in the church lounge next to a sheet cake and an urn of coffee while people come up to shake our hand and congratulate us on making it to 50 years. We spent a lovely week at a log cabin on the North Shore, hiking Carlton Peak and Oberg Mountain, taking in the full beauty of that grand old dam of a lake, riding the Lützen gondola up, and then hiking through that majestic forest on the Superior hiking trail down. We ended the week by spending the weekend at Bay Lake with our three sons, fishing and going on long pontoon boat rides, gathering around a bonfire, roasting marshmallows as the sun set and the stars flickered. Pure Minnesota heaven. Even with our promise to one another to spend the week away from the news, away from our phones and social media, the news of that week, of course, crept in. As I was looking out at that beautiful night sky, listening to the mournful cry of the loons, it occurred to me, this world has not changed all that much in 2,000 years. We continue to lay our coats down in reverence to leaders who may not exactly be loving one another as God has loved us. We continue to bear false witness against one another for our own personal gain. And yet, over and over again, disciples continue to point to the good news of Christ. Devout men and women continue to cry over their loved ones' graves. And we continue to pray for light and for guidance. So on this 4th of July weekend, what can we learn from this not-so-uplifting text? We can recognize that our freedom to worship our Lord, our freedom from the sin of taking what we want when we want it, which has plagued mankind ever since the Garden of Eden, all call us to do our very best to do better, to refuse to become enraged and grind our teeth, but to be so filled with the Holy Spirit, so filled with God's goodness, that we can do none other than to look to heaven, to give thanks to our true leader, and to pray, Father, forgive us, for we know not what we do. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. Amen.